powerful, so moving to me. And I don't know if all of you have been here for all the days, but on the first day that I was here, I spoke a little bit about just some food addictions that I've had for the last 10 years and how this past year God has really been doing something significant in my life, pressing into me in September saying, you know, how long are you going to be stuck in this? And for some reason, he told me there was something about the conference that was connected to my food addictions, and I didn't know what it was. And so we just had this incredible, power-filled, you know, ministry time, and literally people saw hundreds of demons leaving yesterday afternoon, and I know many of you were freed of religion and legalism, and lots of sexual demons left that were attached to some of the victims of rape and abortion and sexual abduction and stuff like that. I was just so overwhelmed, not with anything except just gratitude. And I went out into the lobby and I just sat in a chair for a minute to say something to a few of the women from my church. And the Holy Spirit just fell on me. I just sobbed. I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And people think that I'm not okay when I'm sobbing, but I really am okay. It's like the greatest place to, that's just what I do when I worship and when I feel God. I mean, I just cry. My husband laughs. It's just not fair. He's constantly laughing, and I'm just constantly crying, and it's good cry, bad, it's everything. It's always cry. And so I just sat there, and I don't know how long it went on. I was just sobbing, and it was worship. It was like, holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is all I could think. And how is it that I get to do this? How is it that I get to do this, you know? Not because I don't think I'm worthy, but because it's just so doggone fun. And, you know, I just felt overwhelmed, and the worship was just coming out of me, and, you know, he just said, for such a time as this, Brenda, you're created, and I kind of was trying to gather myself, and I looked up, and he dropped the words in my head, and he said, that's why I want you to get free of this food addiction. And I was like, oh, yeah. You know, when we do deal with our junk, the power and authority of God can flow through us to degrees that it doesn't sometimes when we're stuck in our junk. And I say that to you to encourage you to go to places that maybe you haven't gone to and let him deal with what he wants to. Just let him do it. Just let him do what he wants to do. And I see you doing that, and I bless it in you, and I just thank you for letting God come and do what he wants, because it's just going to be good in the end. And so I just praise God for what he did yesterday. And, oh, of course, I don't know how are the guys in our life and our family members, how are they gonna hear it all? I mean, we're just gonna be. All right, here we go. This all seems sort of imperative because I'm gonna tell you how the Holy Spirit works and what does he do in our life? And it's kinda like you're all just already experiencing it and he's already doing it, and but we're just going to go through these biblical. It's important for you to know where this stuff is in Scripture, and so that's what we're going to do. And then we're going to do just a really wonderful time at the end of just asking Jesus to come and send us to do Jesus' ministry, which is going to be an ongoing thing for the rest of the day for you. So how does he work in our lives? What does he do in our lives? And your notes start on page 4. And if you didn't get notes, we still have a few books in the back. And you can grab them out of a box there. The first thing that he does is when we do not know how to pray, and this is out of Romans 8:26, and it says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all the hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So when our hearts don't want what God wants, and we don't know how to pray, when we feel pain that is so deep, and some of the healing ministry of Jesus that's been happening over the lives that are just being broken at the feet of Jesus here, the Holy Spirit is just interceding. He's just standing in the gap. In times when we think we're walking away from God, we think we're in the dark night of our soul, he's just standing in the gap, the great intercessor, praying over our lives. When we're out of wisdom, when we're out of words, he fills in all the gaps. And it's just such a wonderful role. A time in my life a couple years ago I went through, I mentioned it once, a huge devastation of a betrayal of a friend. And I can remember sitting in my living room on a summer day, just on the floor, and just loud cries, wailing, nobody home. It was the deepest pain I felt in like 15 years. And I didn't know how to pray. I didn't even know who to have pray for me. It was a complicated matter, and I was just broken at the feet of Jesus. And as I did that, I just felt the Spirit of God just come over me and just do all the words. Just fill in the gap. Bring me before the Father. And just, he prayed when I couldn't even pray. So he helps us when we don't know how to pray, and it says that in Romans 8, 26. He helps us when we feel condemned. And in Romans 8, 1, it says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the power of the living Spirit, the life-giving Spirit is what my version says, has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death." Condemnation is a common demonic strategy. It is not from the Father, heart of God for you. And there is no place for it in Christ. If Satan can get you to stay under the negative effects of self-condemnation, then you will be paralyzed in God's kingdom. You just get immobilized by it. And I've seen women who've had past promiscuous lifestyles or abortion or homosexual relationships or lifestyles that they're just kept in bondage from those past sins. And they could have happened years ago. And, it's simply because they have that condemnation on their own spirit. And it's shame and it's guilt. And a wonderful thing that happened yesterday as the demons were leaving, the next thing that Jesus would say is, "Now get rid of the shame. Because there's nothing for it. There's no place for it anymore. There's nothing for it to be attached to." And so we would just continue to pray and cast that out as well. And, Satan can take you out for years because of this. And it's not about you. It's a demonic strategy, and Christ died for your sin. He died for what happened to you, the sins that have been done against you. He paid the price. They're forgiven, but you can't live like they're not forgiven. You can't live like slaves when you're free. And there's something to that. There's stories I've heard of, even in the slavery days, when slaves would actually be freed, and they wouldn't know how to live like a free person, so they would stay with their master and continue to serve them for years. And they didn't understand what all came with that freedom and what it meant and how to live like a free person. And so sometimes we just need the Holy Spirit's power to come, break off that condemnation. We had a prophecy workshop at church. I was teaching that with my husband, and we were doing some ministry time. And about halfway through, we're in a break, and a gentleman comes up to me. He's like, "I got to get out of here. I am freaking out. I got to get out of here. I don't even know what I'm doing here. I am just so afraid, and I have no business being here." And I knew his background was, a background of sexual addiction that he was coming out of and being freed of, and there was still some pull of that in his life. And I said, "You know what? I can't think of any reason why you shouldn't be here. Would you just come and sit down in your chair? I want you to take two big, deep breaths. I want you to say, 'Holy Spirit, come.' And during the ministry time, we're going to come and we're going to pray about that with you and get rid of that fear." And so during the ministry time, I got another guy from our church, trained leader, that came over and started to pray over him. And I just let the Lord come for a while. And then I just went into that place and I just broke that shame off of him. And I just said, "Get off of his life and leave him alone in the name of Jesus. Be free. You are not condemned in Christ." And we prayed for a spirit of innocence just to come on him, which was a word from the Lord. And he just melted like a baby before the Lord and just started, instead of saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," he started to say, "Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus." And he said to me, "Do you know what?" He said, "I have been waiting for months for somebody to reject me from this church, and nobody will." He said, "The more they know, the more they love me." And that's just Jesus' heart. It's not a great thing. It's about your church, too. It's about the heart of Jesus being extended to the broken because they know they can come there. So he helps us when we feel condemned, because we are not condemned as people of God. If that's something you struggle with, then you need to continue to press into some prayer for that. He empowers us to see God as Abba. God as Abba, our Papa. Romans 8:15 says, so you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into this family, calling him Father, dear Father. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts, and he tells us that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit does that. He speaks to us and says, no, you're his son. You're his daughter. Come to the table. You know, so when you're not feeling like a child of God, you're not feeling the benefits of being in the family of God, he shows us that we're adopted and that we can sit on God's lap, and he kind of just ushers us there. I just picture the Holy Spirit ushering us right up to the Father and just kind of scooting us up into his lap and going, just let him embrace you. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. And so we can ask him to bring that into our life. Not only the knowledge of it, but the experience of it. The experience of being the Father's heart for his children. Next, he gives us power when we feel weak. He gives us power when we feel weak. Acts 1:8 says, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then Luke 24:49 also says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And he gives us boldness, and he helps us to accomplish what we need to do when we need to feel weak, when we feel weak. I have seen this so many times in my life when I'm not that strong physically, and you know, some of it is bad fruit from my food addictions. I'm looking forward to getting rid of that junk in years to come as the fruit of my life changes as I'm freed. But one of the things I have is fibromyalgia, and funny thing is I haven't had it this week, so maybe it's gone. He a lot of times lifts it. I experience hundreds of healings to do what I'm called to do in that. And so I have no pain most all the time when I'm ministering. But I just feel weak a lot of the time. Sometimes I just like, you know, a Sunday morning I had some emotional stuff happen. I think it was in the time of my life when I was kind of being emotionally crushed through this event in my life that was so devastating. And, you know, you still have to pastor a church. Church is growing and people are there. They want to be fed. And I'm a realist. I mean, I just go with my heart on my sleeves. I'm like always saying, you know, I'm not okay. You guys got to pray for me. And, you know, let people come around me. And but this day I was thinking, you know, I just kind of want to get home and get in my recliner and take my ibuprofen and just, I'm just going to kind of go through the motions. I don't think I admitted that, but in my head I was thinking, got to get through the morning, you know, and just do this thing. And so I'm at church and I'm like, go to the bathroom, and we have like 5 services. We have a really small building, and the church is just really too big for the building. So we have 5 services, and so it's not like you can just go through one service. It's like you got to do this 5 times, which God gives us lots of grace for, and it's wonderful. But I was in the bathroom sometime, and I think it was first service, and I'm doing what you do when you're in the bathroom. And I don't need to get into, why did I do that? Like, why do they need all the details? And so I'm in there and I'm starting to pray. I'm like, okay, Lord, I am just so weak. I just need you to get me through the day. You know, Holy Spirit, would you just come and just put whatever I need to? I need grace for these people. I need your heart. And all of a sudden I hear God just clear as a bell in the women's bathroom, in the stall. He was there with me and he said, I want you to lead ministry time. I'm like, God, I told you that I'm kind of feeling weak, emotionally tired, and I'd like to just get through the day. And he's like, when you're weak, I am strong. I want you to go to your husband. I want you to tell him that you're going to lead ministry time, and I want you to get up, and I'll tell you what to say. And out of frustration and fear of God, I did it. And I went up and I said, I'm supposed to leave ministry time. But he's like, he kind of knew I was feeling kind of icky. And he's like, what? I'm like, I'm supposed to leave ministry time. I was kind of hoping he'd go, oh, no, I got it, you know. God already told me what to do, and I'm thinking I could be totally wrong about this word, and it was in the women's bathroom, and does God really show up there? And but he didn't say that. He's like, cool. Cool. I'd love to have you do that. And so I'm just so weak. I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, you better come. I say that to God all the time. You better come. You better back me up. It's like, you put me out there. You better show up. And we have a wonderful relationship. And so I just get up there, and I'm just like, I think my husband was talking about addictions, to be honest with you. And I just get up there, and I go, you know what? I am so unworthy to stand before you and call you to this. And you know why I can is because I'm there too. This spoke to me. And, you know, if you would just come up here and stand with me today in my weakness, I think God's just going to come and begin to set us free. And I asked the Holy Spirit to come. And we usually have a pretty good response to the ministry time, but 75 people got up out of 200 chairs and walked forward. And the power of God came, and I was able to just pray over their lives, and the Spirit of God just fell 4 times in a row. I had to repeat it. And I had no idea what he had in mind. But when you're weak, he is strong. And some of the weakest moments of my life, God has just come in amazing ways. And so you have to learn to say yes to him, even though you feel really weak. You just have to learn to trust him, that he will come and back you up with power and authority. He gives us power when we feel weak. He refreshes us when we feel spiritually dry. And this is out of John 7, 37, 38. If you feel thirsty, go to the chiller. No, it doesn't say that. Oh, sorry. If you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. Come and receive. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow out from within. And in verse 39, he says, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone who believes in him. You know, sometimes when you're counseling someone and they're just like, I just don't feel God, I feel dry, we just need to say, oh, you just need a drink of living water. You just need some of the Holy Spirit. That's like my favorite pat answer for the dry thing, because that's what happens when we have a lack of the Holy Spirit in our life. Things just get dry. That's because there's not enough living water. So when we see people who feel vulnerable or anxious or afraid or overwhelmed, it's because they're missing or lacking that direct connection or that deposit of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we can take the Holy Spirit out of our relationship with God, and it gets very, very, very dry. He is our defender when we fear that Satan will hurt us. Isaiah 59:15 says that anyone who tries to live a godly life is soon attacked. Great refrigerator verse. That's encouraging. But then in verse 21, it says this, my spirit will not leave you. When the enemy comes into your life and he tries to stop you, then the Spirit of the Lord will come and rescue you. And that's what he's doing this week. He lifts up this standard and he says, Satan, you are not hurting my child. Get off of their life and leave them alone. When Satan just comes rushing in like a flood and knocks us off our feet, it's the Holy Spirit that becomes your defender. And that's where you run. And that's why you say, Holy Spirit, come. A lot of times, when I learned about things of the Spirit as an early married woman, my husband and I would get in fights sometimes, and we'd feel all this anger and frustration and stuff. You can't say everything that you think. And sometimes there would be this spirit, you know, of just like division in our marriage and anger and hostility and, you know, whatnot. It would just be like heavy in the room. And I started to try this funny little thing. I started to just, even though sometimes I was mad, I didn't really want to, I would just sort of say, Holy Spirit, come. And it was so interesting how when I would acknowledge our need, I think the whole come thing isn't, it's not because he left. It's just us turning to him and saying, we need you now. You know, we're just acknowledging our need. And when we would do that, the Spirit of God would just come in the room and it was like anger would just disperse. And it was just like, I think the enemy is just on that in marriages. He's trying to divide and bring division. And he actually assigns, you know, spirits just to like, I just pictured him sitting in my shoulder, whispering in my ear and going, isn't he such a jerk? You know, and at some point you just got to go, no. And picture him rolling over and bouncing off the wall. Because, no, that is not my heart for him. I don't think he's a jerk. I love him. We're a team. We're on the same page. And when you start to acknowledge that he's not the enemy, but the enemy is the enemy, and, you know, invite the Spirit to come, it's amazing how he defends the truth. He defends who God is in the Spirit of God. And it's just a really cool thing. The Redeemer comes, and he says, here I am. I'm going to come in, and I'm going to breathe the breath of the Lord, and then the fury of God comes on his foes. And yesterday, someone came up to me and they said, you know what I saw? I saw a vision of what was happening in the kingdom of God whenever these religious spirits and things were leaving. And they saw a chariot of fire riding down the street, and soldiers were just drawing swords all in white and just literally like just whoosh, 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 and the demons were just being slashed and slain. And that, I said, that's what's happening in the spirit realm. He's our defender. It's important to know that. Do not go up against the enemy without the Holy Spirit. You're going to get toasted. When we need discernment, the Spirit guides us into all truth. And this is found in John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. You know, we should be praying for discernment all the time. Just like, I mean, we should just be saying, God, please give me discernment. I need to know what you're doing. I need to see what's happening in the spirit realm. And I need to know what's wrong with me. You know, God really likes that prayer. You know, it's the problem is we just don't pray it very, very much. But, well, you know, what am I doing that's hurting me? Give me discernment. Help me to see. Help me to use the gift of discernment in my own life. Help me to see the areas where I have blind spots. My husband always says, you know why they call them blind spots? You can't see them. And so you need discernment from God to help shine the light in there and see what's going on in the spirit realm in your life, in some of those areas. And you will recognize with the help of the Holy Spirit, other spirits that are not from God, what's up, what's down, what's right, and what's not. So you need that. And that comes by the Holy Spirit. He will help us deliver people who are demon-oppressed. And boy, that was obvious. Yesterday, Matthew 12:28 says, but if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, right there it is, that's how they leave, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. And that's one of the most exciting things. The reality was, did not the kingdom of God and is not the kingdom of God coming and crashing in to the natural realm here? I mean, that's what we're seeing right before our eyes. Fabulous, fabulous stuff. But if you're going to move in the area of deliverance, you need two things. I believe and have experienced this over the years quite a bit, but you only need two things. You need the person's will and you need God's power. You just need a surrendered heart and God's power. You always have God's power. The reason why deliverance don't go so well is because you don't have the person's will. And I'm a lot of times not even praying for people anymore until I meet with them a couple times and explain to them, you know what, this is what you're going to have to give your heart to. This is what you're going to have to do when you get up in the morning. This is your role in this whole thing. And in doing that, I've seen some people actually cast demons out of their self. And they just, one day in their house, get so sick of it and sick of the bad fruit, and they realize that God's power is going to come if they would just give their will to it. And so they just say, Satan, shut up and leave me alone. Get out of my life. Get off my life. And they start to name the stuff that they're seeing, depression. And, you know, I just recently had a gal in my church that was a Buddhist for years practicing. Came to church with a friend from work, accepted Jesus about a year ago, and has been coming to church, and she doesn't even know why she's come back, because every time she comes, she feels sick. She left feeling depressed. She couldn't really hear the worship. She couldn't really hear scripture when it was being read. There was loud buzzing in her ear. And finally, she came and started to talk to me about it a little bit, and we sat down, and for a few meetings, I actually just educated her on what she was dealing with, and she was like, do you really think my life is going to get better if I go through this deliverance thing? And I'm like, oh yeah, 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 it's going to get better. I can guarantee you that. I mean, he just affects every area of our life, and her whole life was wrecked. Her whole life was a mess. Everything, finances, job, losing it, single mom, just depression, could hardly get out of bed, and just harassed by the enemy. And so we just began to talk about what was going on in the spirit realm over her life, and I started to talk to her about, you got to want this. Are you ready? I mean, do you want to be free? Do you want to get out from under this, or do you want to be sick? Some people, in the Bible, Jesus asked people, do you want to get well? And that's why, because, you need their will. And so she just got sick of it. She just got sick of it. First time she came to pray, she canceled the meeting. I'm like, okay, that's typical. Usually they don't make it the first time there. Second time she came, she sat in a chair, and as Jordan and I went and started to pray for her, she jumped out of the chair, ran to the door, shook her head, and said, nope, 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 you're not going to touch me. I'm like, cool, see you later. I said, I'm not going to chase you around the campus. Whenever you're ready. And I just prayed from across the room. She said she couldn't hear what I said, but I told Satan, your day is done. You have found out. In fact, evidence. As soon as we started to let the presence of God come, the demons tried to get out of the room, flee. So I said, now I know we're on the right track. And she said she couldn't remember me praying anything over her later, but she couldn't hear my words. It doesn't matter. And then the third time, we were going to pray, but the night before we were going to pray, she cast them out herself at home. She just showed up and said, I'm totally free. Totally free. No depression. Years of medication. You cannot believe the transformation on this woman. It is absolutely a miracle before your eyes. She's sitting in worship, standing for the first time. She used to sit like this with her head down and hunched down against the wall. She's worshiping God. She can hear scripture. She's coming up, ministering, praying. She said, I'm not going back. And I don't think she is. She said she's not going back. Why am I telling you that? Oh, he will help us deliver people who are demon oppressed. I wish he would help us stay on track. No. You just got to go with him sometimes. He empowers us to hear God's voice. And this is 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of prophetic insight and how it comes to us by the Holy Spirit. So many people struggle with this area of hearing God's voice. And I am coming to the conviction that, most of the people that we reach out to and that we want to see begin a relationship with God are astonished at the idea that God wants to speak to them. We've had people leave our church because they hear people talking about, well, yeah, I heard God say this to me. And that just totally unravels people that God would say anything to a human being today. And, it's quite foreign in a lot of biblical or in a lot of communities of believers. But you know what? I just found that we can pray for them and tell them the reason why you can't hear God's voice is you just have lacked the Holy Spirit in your life. He's the one that enables you to hear God's voice. And I consistently see people experience something supernatural from the Holy Spirit and immediately start hearing God's voice. It's just one of those things that we've got to learn that the problem's not on God's end, which is always the case. You could say that about anything. In trials, the Spirit helps us have joy despite our circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, so you receive the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering that it brought you. And in this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. He helps us trust in God's goodness. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. But to me, the only thing that is worse in suffering is to suffer without Jesus. It's one thing to be broken at the feet of Jesus, but you don't want to be broken out there somewhere. And, the Spirit of God helps us to look up and see Jesus, even in incredible pain, incredible circumstances, and have that kind of confidence that we talked about the other day, that Jesus is going to make it good in the end. And I have felt like at times the Holy Spirit will come to me in places of pain in my life. And, you know, it just felt like somebody was, it felt like I was out in the water, like totally flailing, drowning. I'm not a good swimmer. And I'm out there just like totally going under. And it just feels like he threw me a lifeline. And I get one of those big white buoy things and I just get to hold on to it and I'm going to be okay. And that's what it feels like to have the Spirit come in trials and give you confidence that you're going to be okay in spite of your circumstances. That comes by the Holy Spirit. He calls us to look up into heaven and thank God and say, you are good, you are good, and I will serve you no matter what, and even if I don't understand. And I don't have to know why. And I think that, you know, God wants us to say, I will worship you no matter what I see. No matter what I see. If I never see another healing, I will worship you. I will. And one more, I think, here. The Spirit of God gives us boldness to release the kingdom of God, and that's what we're going to kind of do during our ministry time today and then even tonight. In Acts 4, it talks about receiving the Holy Spirit. You know, it does a sort of a strange thing to us. Eventually, you just can't keep it to yourself anymore. I mean, you can only take so much. You're a sponge. You get full. Got to be squeezed out. And so the Spirit of God at some point will do something in you that makes you say, oh, my gosh, I got to give this away. I'm going to start to take risks. I'm going to begin to pray for people outside the church. I'm going to start to say, let your kingdom come, Holy Spirit, come. And when you get enough the Spirit of God, then eventually that's what comes next. He gives you the boldness to release the kingdom of God. And we've already talked about how we've seen God come in situations that were so desperate because God loves, he dwells with the broken, the contrite spirit. That's where he is. There's hundreds of verses in the Bible about that. He loves to be where the broken are. You know, I've taught people says, I need more meat. I need more meat. You know, I'm not getting enough action. I'm like, meat is in the street, is what John Wimber used to say. The meat is in the street. You want action, you go where Jesus is and do what Jesus is doing. And he's with the broken and the contrite spirit. You go pray for people out in the street and you see Jesus just slam down on them so fast your head will spin. And you'll go, what's that? I mean, oh my gosh, Jesus here. It's like, yeah, he was already there sitting with that guy on the steps before you walked up. So we talked about that already, and we're done talking about this stuff. We're going to start to do it. All right, just one last quick section, and we're going to prayer. Here are some things that you can do to encourage life in the Spirit. And realize I actually prepared some of this for people on a leadership level, and so I know some of you are leaders. There's a few things here you might not be able to go back to your church and do, but if you're a leader, you can. You can always pray for your leaders that God will bring the ministry of the Holy Spirit and encourage the life of the Spirit in your church. Prayed for many of you who said, I'm going to go home, I'm going to start to pray, and I'm going to start to bring the Holy Spirit to the center of everything that I do in ministry. And I know God is on that. I know he's going to bless that, and he's crazy about it. But here's just some real quick, a quick list for us. Preach on life in the Spirit if you can, or the Holy Spirit in different settings, or listen to people that are teaching on it like you're doing here, because does it not provide a framework? It's like block upon block, brick upon brick. God gave me the word. I listened to Eleanor the first night, and I'm like, whoa, wow, she nailed it. I don't need to say anything. You know, this is good. I don't know what I'm going to do for 3 days, but and then God said to me, no, we need to teach on the Holy Spirit what the Word of God says, brick upon brick, build a fireplace, and then I'll come and light a fire in it. But some of you didn't even have a fireplace before this, or you need, you know, more construction in that. So keep doing that. Encourage other people to do it. Model it. Model it as you've seen it modeled in, you know, some good ways. I would say, you know, you never know when sometimes the Spirit's doing something and then we attach things to that and it kind of sometimes gets into a little bit of our flesh. You know, the good thing is God still comes, even though And we want to always learn how to stay in the Spirit and not add stuff to it. And that's, you learn that from good models. Good models, people who are doing that and listening to the Spirit. Begin studying the Word about ministry in the Holy Spirit. Just the Bible, model it, okay? And then tell stories about the power of God. You've heard so many stories, and you know, doesn't that do something? I mean, you know what stories do? Stories about the power of God. And you're going to go home and you're going to tell your story. What happened to you when the Holy Spirit came on you at this conference? And when you tell your story, something is going to go out from your story. There's faith that goes into the person you're telling your story to. And they go, well, if God could do that for you, then maybe he could do that for me. Maybe he could heal my brokenness too. And that's why it's like stories and testimonies are like, there is power on that stuff. There is power on it that will do way more than anything else. So, you know, you just have to let it come when God tells you to tell your story. Tell stories about the power of God. You've got to, you know, long to do that and be telling stories of the awesome ministry of the Holy Spirit. Teach people how to welcome him and say, more, Lord. I have always prayed more, Lord, but last night I was twitching in bed, and I tell you, it was the first time in my life I'm like, Jesus, can I just go to sleep, please? I never thought I would hear myself say that. You know, my cry is always, more, Lord, more, Lord. And I know he would never harass me, but I would never use that word to describe what the Spirit's doing. But we need to just, we get to the point where we just need to welcome him and say, more, Lord. When we see him coming on people, say, I bless what the Lord's doing. More, Lord Jesus, come more. We need you more. And, you know, it's not normal. I talked about this a little bit already, but receiving the Holy Spirit is something you just have to practice and learn how to do. And tell your heart to receive the Holy Spirit. And learn about what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and then it will help you give your heart over to it, what you're doing. And then help people learn how to receive. Help people drop the cocoon and learn how to receive. And then ask intercessors and staff leaders to pray about it. And you pray about it and begin asking God, help us in this area. Help us, Lord Jesus. We don't want to live without your presence. We don't want our churches to be dry and empty, dusty words. Help us in this area. I started praying about it years ago. And seeing some of the fruit of that now. So I know it's important. Ask people to change their worldview. Western church culture, it doesn't believe in the supernatural. People outside the church do, but it's the Christians, usually in our Western world, that don't really have the right framework. So we need to teach them how God works, what's happening in the kingdom of God, and ask them to change their worldview about supernatural things. So that they can allow God to begin to come. Sometimes when I'm teaching or talking to someone, I'll realize that the very core issue we're dealing with is that they just don't believe in the supernatural. So I start there before I try to do a bunch of supernatural stuff. Practice on the streets and pray for power encounters. And I've told you so many stories of that, and you've heard them from Deborah and other people this week. It's really important to get over your fear. You know, just do it afraid. That's one of our mantras. You know, in Duluth, we're just like, okay, God tells us that. You know what? Just do it afraid. You know, just go. You know, and then I'll come and show up, and then you won't be able to stop doing it because you'll see me come. And do deliverances, pray against spirits of religion and legalism, like we've been doing here. And then of course they oppose the Holy Spirit, they leave, and then the Holy Spirit can come. Provide time for healing and renewing where the Holy Spirit stuff is allowed. We have a time in our church that's just called Unchained. We just come together, 45 minutes of worship. I do short teachings on Holy Spirit, prophecy, healing ministry, and man, the Lord comes, and that's where a bunch of stuff happens. People just get healed. But if you don't have a time when that can happen, then it's kind of hard to, you know, point people in a direction where they can begin to learn and experience that kind of stuff in the church. So a lot of that, if you give him arena, he'll come. And so sometimes you just need to provide another opportunity. Challenge the board, been there, done that crowd. Take them with you and let them see God come I mean, I know that some of you all's hearts are captured by the Spirit of God because of some of what you've seen Him set you free from this week. And you're going to be ruined. You're going to be ruined for God. I mean, you're not going to be able to not. You're just going to go, well, the reason why we're bored is because there's not enough of the Holy Spirit. And so, I mean, this is far from boring stuff. The bottom line is that the only ministries that allow the Holy Spirit to come and have His way are only the ministries that allow the Holy Spirit to come are alive and growing. And I would say they're the ones that are attractive as well. And so we just don't want to do church without it. We just don't want to do church without it. We talked about that quite a bit on the first day. I'm going to just show you a short, it's a real brief, one minute or less audio clip. This is John Wimber. It'll speak for itself. It's a time in his life where Jesus called him to the ministry of Jesus in a more profound way. I really sense that God wants to call us to that. And He has wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things in mind and in store. And it's not going to be a burden. It's not going to make us tired. It's going to be fruitful and fun and everlasting. And so we want to pray today a little bit for empowerment. Just let Jesus come. And we're going to talk. I'm going to have Eleanor come as soon as the clip is over. And just talk a little bit about how are you going to go give this away? How are you going to start to lay hands on the sick and take this to where God wants you to take it?
One day I walked out of the meeting with over 1,000 pastors, and they give me a standing ovation with one of my assistants, who I love dearly. He's with the Foursquare. But he was working for me at the time. He had been a missionary and come back to the States. And he was my administrative assistant named John Amstutz. And we were walking down the hallway. We're hurrying because we had to go catch an airplane to go home. Chicago. He's crying. I'm thinking, oh, how sweet. He's proud of me. He's proud of me. That's nice. I said, John, what's the matter? How are you doing? He said, oh, I'm so greedy. I said, what? He said, I'm so grieved. I can't use the exact word he used. It wasn't that vulgar, but I don't think it translates well anyway. And he said, you gave him all that junk and you could have given him Jesus. It was like an axe in my chest. Oh, my balloon popped. And I didn't speak to him for the next 7 hours. We went to the airport, we sat in the airport, we got on the plane, we flew home, we got in the car, I had to drive him to Pasadena. I got into the parking lot, opened the door for him, and said, get out. I was so mad at him. And then for the next 3 weeks, I had to wear dark glasses because I was crying constantly, grieving. And that all culminated with a night in Detroit in which God said, I've seen your ministry. And it ain't much. Now I'd like to show you mine.
Eleanor, would you come? Would you mind standing with us? Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, we don't have much. People don't need more of Brenda. They need Jesus. And Jesus' ministry is the only one. It's the only real ministry. Would you fall on us, Holy Spirit? Would you make us givers of life? Givers of life. Would you breathe the life-giving breath of the Holy Spirit in us? If we have not, we cannot give it out. This is an empowering. We're going to let His power come. An equipping. You're going to get gifts. You're going to get ministry of the Holy Spirit as a deposit in you for all who want it.
And this is our inheritance. This is the inheritance of the followers of Jesus. It's nothing less and it's nothing more than He gave them. And when He went back into heaven, He said, "And you will receive power from on high." And along through our history, there have been people who've come along and they've reminded us of what is our inheritance. And Wimber was just one of those. He was just an ordinary old disciple of Jesus who had remembered and grasped what his inheritance was. And that's what we need to be. Just ordinary old disciples of Jesus who understand what is our right, what is our inheritance, what is the legacy that He has entrusted to us. And our legacy is the one that was His, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And He has anointed us, and He is anointing us now again to preach good news to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind, physical healing, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to drive out their demons with a word. That's what this is about. And to help to bring in the acceptable year of the Lord. So, Lord, we ask that You would come now, that You would get us back in touch with the inheritance that is ours. Everything that You died to achieve and rose again, went back to heaven and then sent the Holy Spirit to bring about. And we ask You now, by Your Holy Spirit, to fall upon the women of the church once again. You see us here and You know our hearts. You know what we love. You know what we long for. You know what we have no power of our own to achieve. So we come now. We invite Your Holy Spirit to fall. And Lord, we pray for the church here, the church, the little church in Clintonville that is represented by these women right here. Lord, we pray that by what is happening now, by this little transaction right here and now, that church will change and that community will be affected. Men and women in that city may be won for Jesus, may be healed of their sicknesses and have their demons cast out by these women and all whom they go home and lay their hands upon. Now bless them, Lord. Bless them all. Kira manda shosta father. Kira manda shosta father. Kira manda shosta father.
One of the things that keeps us from doing ministry the way Jesus did is a lack of compassion. Jesus always ministered from a deep place of compassion. Never reacted to the need. It was compassion from the Father heart of God. And all ministry flows from the compassion of Jesus. It purifies our motives. Lord Jesus, would You let it come now on Your daughters? Release the compassion of Jesus and let it go down and be buried deep, 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 unto deep in our spirit. Let it be the core of everything that we do in the name of Jesus Christ. No flesh, just the compassion of Jesus Christ. Let all ministry flow out of the deep, deep, deep love of the Father. Let it come. So let this come now. It's going to go down deep. You're going to feel it. Let it come. If you want to go there, he will put a deep compassion in you. It'll make you see things more the way he sees them.
And just at this moment, he's bringing in front of your eyes the faces of the people for whom he has the
yes.
compassion that he's going to release through you.
Yes, Lord.
For me, it's at this very moment the neighbor that lives at number 8 in my street. And for you, there are men and women who are coming into your mind at this moment, and it's as if God in his mercy is giving you a visual aid, an illustration of the people for whom he's giving you compassion. Lord, anoint the eyes of our understanding and our ears. We could hear you speaking now. We can see with our eyes the things that you're doing. The people around us who need you so badly. The ones like that Buddhist woman that are so messed up by their demons. The ones whose bodies are ravaged by sicknesses that Satan's put on them. The single mums in our communities that don't know where to turn with their children. Children in our streets are out of control.
Just stay engaged with what the Spirit is doing with you. Just let him come. Continue. There's a word for people who are having a little bit of difficulty, and the word is this. Sometimes there's a thing that needs to happen first, and that's that we return to our first love. And we may not even know that we have other loves in our life. But somehow, some way, there's a lack of intimacy with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus. And he wants you to want to be his friend. He wants you to want that friendship. So surrender those other loves and say, come, Lord, and be my first love. Be my passion. Come, Lord. I want to worship like I've seen women worship with abandonment because of their love for you. First love, Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Intimacy. And all the goal of all of this is to see your face. Intimacy with you. Friendship with God. It's not, we're not seeking power, God. We want to know you. Intimacy with you, Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit comes in waves like we talked about yesterday, so we're just going to wait a second here. So, so sweet resting on you. beautiful presence of the Spirit just resting on you. It's just all over you. Like a wash. Washing, washing, washing. Just receive that peace of God, that comfort and that peace. Fill them up. All your peace, all your comfort. Right to the tip top of their heads, Lord. Get out. In the name of Jesus. Get out. All right, it's gone. Bless her, Lord. Now the Spirit can come fill her up. This is God's time. Sweet presence of Jesus. Sweet fragrance of Jesus. You know what? Don't be disturbed by that. Demons can't stay when God's that thick in here. Just go back to receiving. God didn't leave. There's a thick, sweet peace of God. You can't find this kind of peace anywhere else.
There's a verse somewhere in the Psalms where it talks about coming, the Lord's presence coming like the dew to Israel. And the dew is very gentle, completely silent, almost invisible, and it brings deep, deep life. And I think that's what's going on here. And Israel were God's chosen ones. You are his chosen women, and he's coming now like dew to refresh and to cleanse and to soften and to bring growth. And he's reminding us that it doesn't have to be in firework form. It can be, and that's fantastic, and we don't balk from that, but sometimes he just knows that this is what we need more. So, Lord, we love the storms and we love the stuff that you've done, but we also love this stuff. This is a very supernatural silence here. And we welcome your presence. We say yea and amen to all that you're doing. We ask you to come like dew to Israel. Your chosen people. More, Lord Jesus. Bless them. Go deep, Lord Jesus. Change lives. Redirect ministries. Empower in a way we've never known before. Kiana.
Father, I just hear you saying that this kind of peace heals stress and tension in our muscles and our bodies physically. Just let that peace heal you. Let it heal your stress and your tension. It's a healing peace. Just go deep, Spirit of God. That peace. Just let that peace of God go deep. I'm just going to tell that to be quiet. Silence. Go back down. They have to obey. Makosa, why don't you walk her over to the bookstore, hon? Thanks. Bless what you're doing. Bless what you're doing, God. It's okay, hon. Just go with Makosa. She can keep praying for that. Just bless her, Lord. Doesn't disrupt a thing. Jesus is in control. Jesus is in control. Just let his peace come back. Just let it come. Soak it up. You don't know when you can get it again. Soak it up.
You know, there are just very, very rare occasions on which nobody is required to lay a finger on anybody else. I have a feeling this is one of those times. So if you are praying for somebody else, I would just take your hands off them. Just for now. Just almost by way of experiment. There are very rare occasions, I've been there before, when the Lord has said to me, don't let anybody touch anybody, because I am. And I think this is one of those special times. It's unusual, but God is doing it. It's sovereign. It's unilateral. Very effective. And Lord, we ask you to continue to do what you will do at the level to which you choose to go, just exactly as and when you want. It's wonderful.
So much peace. God is so here, and it's so hard to interrupt the peace of God. If you need more, just stay. Just stay. Keep soaking. There's a half, about 20 minutes or so. It's only three, so if you need to slip out, can you do it very quietly? And those that want to soak in the presence and the peace of God, just I mean, there's not very few places you can go and have this much peace. And we need it as women because our lives are so noisy. So just stay. Just stay there for as long as you need. I bless you. I bless this, Lord. You're so good to us, God. We love you.